Then find 2 Chronicles 34, and I believe if this goes the way I think it will, we're going to be there at some point this evening, and but we'll start in Psalm 119, and sometimes you put a message together, and you feel like your thoughts are here and there and everywhere, Lord willing, we'll be able to all get to the same place we're going. And if you're not aware, Psalm 119 is where we're taking our theme from, the idea of being all in and just seeking God with our whole heart. And so I just titled this sermon, All In With My Whole Heart. All in with, I know it's really, I mean, really sharp on that, but all in with my whole heart. And I forgot this. I got a bag of goodies over here. All right. You can sit that there and wonder what it is until we get to it. But I'm going to need some participation from some of our younger kids. Okay. So not yet, but be ready. Younger kids. All right. So, I mean, like 9, 8, 7. And I thought about even bringing Tyson out here from the nursery and see if he could help us with this illustration so we can get this idea of just our whole heart being given to the things of the Lord. So if you found Psalm 119, stand with me if you would this morning or this evening for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read down through verse number 11 here in Psalm 119. And we're not going to necessarily expound this text tonight, but we are going to more focus on the idea of the whole heart. The whole heart. It says in verse number 1, it says, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with an uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All in with my whole heart. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your love. I thank you for, Lord, this psalm to stop and to be reminded of the importance of your law, of your commands, of your word, of your statutes, your judgments. And Lord, as we follow them, Lord, the blessing that then ensues in our life. And Lord, there's not one person here, if we would do things according to your ways and according to your mind and how you would desire for them to be done, that would not be blessed. Lord, you bless those who by faith follow your word. And so, Lord, I ask that very thing for our congregation this next year. Lord, that by faith we would be continuing to step out, take you at your word, and with our whole heart follow after you. Lord, would you help us to do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Psalm 119, we understand it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible, the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, but also in the entirety of the Bible. It's the longest chapter there. Some people, when they come to Psalm 119 in their reading, go, I'm going to be here a while. And that's okay. I mean, it's a blessing. I remember just somebody recently, they called me and said, did you realize that the Word of God is referenced in almost every verse of the book of Psalms, Psalm 119? I said, yeah, I've read it before for myself, you know, and I'm glad they figured that out. It's exciting. It's exciting. And this long psalm is all dedicated to the Word of God and to the law of God and to the keeping of the commandments of God, and your need to do that, and my need to do that, the keeping of God's commandment and the walking in the ways of his law. It's presumed to be written by David. We don't necessarily know exactly who wrote the 119th Psalm. It's presumed that David had wrote this 119th Psalm, and that it was more a psalm that verse after verse was written. And if you look at it, every eight verses you have the Aleph and the Beth and it goes on, and it's literally the Hebrew alphabet. Every eight verses you have a different letter of the alphabet. One commentator, the 22 verses, he said this of it. He said it's the saints' alphabet, the 119th Psalm. That every eight verses is another letter, and we can learn our ABCs as a saint as we learn the Word of God. And I like that kind of idea because, I mean, to the Christian life, the most basic and the most principal and the most primary thing, just like the ABCs, I mean, those are just fundamental to growing in knowledge. If you're going to learn something, if you're going to grow in knowledge, it helps to know the fundamentals like ABC, right? And if we're going to get down to the very fundamentals of knowing God and walking with God and being right with God, it's going to get right down on the bottom shelf of, hey, listen, keep my commandments. I mean, it's like, it's really that simple. I mean, that's very primary. Somebody says, man, I wonder how to walk with God. I want to live a life of faith. I want to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Okay, it's this simple. Keep his commandments. You say, well, there's a lot of them. I know, but it's just that simple. You need to know the Word of God. You need to hide the Word of God in your heart. You need to study the Word of God. Seek after the Word of God. Desire to live out the Word of God. And this is what you're going to find yourself doing. As that being your heart's passion and desire, and with your whole heart you're seeking after that, listen, this is what's going to take place. You're going to live a life that's glorifying unto God. Yeah, I mean, it's just simply the basics of what we need to do. I'm telling you, you're not going to be sorry that you lived in accordance to the Word of God. You're just not. I got a lot of things. I mean, I ignorantly did because that man right there told me to do them. No, honestly, praise the Lord, my parents are here. They're leaving on Tuesday. But praise the Lord, they got to stay a couple extra days. But I ignorantly did a lot of things as a teenager because he demanded that I do them. And I'm telling you what, I can look back in my life and I'm telling you, as I even in my ignorance did things that he told me to do, I can look now back at 39 and go, man, I'm sure glad I listened to Dad. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you might have the opposite truth in your life. That you'd stop and go, man, I wish I'd listened to Dad. I wish I just would have listened. And I'm telling you, our Christian life can be the very same, that we can know the truth of the Word of God and yet not practice the truth of the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit of God stirs up inside of us and we feel ashamed. Amen. And we can feel guilt. And we can just feel sometimes in our Christian life just almost embarrassed that we knew what the Word of God said, but we just simply did not practice the Word of God. And the psalmist is trying to give us here this idea of the importance of the Word of God, and not just the knowing of the Word of God, but the application, if you will. If you read the whole psalm, of the applying of the Word of God, literally taking the law of God and living it out with my life and say, we're under grace, we're not under the law. I know, I know, I know, I know. But never forget, if you don't lie, it's going to benefit your life. Yes. Amen. If you don't bear false witness, you're going to be benefited. I'm just saying, even now under this age of grace, if you don't steal, you have nobody worried about knocking on your door in the middle of the night and saying, listen, we're hauling you to jail. You don't lust after things. I'm telling you, you're gonna be benefited in your life. You can take any one of the commandments. And you're going to find out this. If you'll live according to God's word and to God's law, if you will, you're going to be benefited in your life. And we see that as we go through this 119th Psalm, there would be a continual building up and an encouraging of the reader to keep the laws of God, to keep the commandments of God, to keep the statutes of God, to keep the testimonies of God, the ways of God, the judgments of God, the precepts of God, the words of God, the ways of God. Well, where are we going to find all those things? in the Word of God. It's right here in these pages is where we're going to find those things for our lives. And it's, and again, like we said, it's generally associated as David being the writer, because it reflects, if you will, as you would read it, we would think of that it being a reflection of the love that David had for the Lord. And it would be a reflection of his desire to follow after his word. And so while we don't know that it's ascribed there, but we don't know that, it very much would give us a testimony of David himself. David, we know this, was a man after God's very heart. That's what David was known by. That's what God gave him the testimony of, that he was going to raise up a leader. He told Saul, "I'm going to raise up someone who's after my heart, who has the heart that I have." You say, well, how would David do that? How would anybody do that? Because they're giving attention to the law of God. The law of God. Well, why attention to the law of God? Because just as we said earlier, how if you'll listen, if you'll apply the law of God and go, you know what? I'm not gonna commit adultery, and I'm not gonna covet, and I'm not gonna steal, and I'm not gonna kill. I'm telling you, it's gonna benefit your very life. Understand, God gave us His law not for our hurt. Amen. He didn't give us a law. He didn't say, "Hey, listen, do these things and don't do these things," because He was trying to hurt you. He gave them to us because He's a loving Heavenly Father that desires your greater good. He does desire your greater good. Now, His entire purpose isn't about your greater good. We talked about that this morning. But God does desire that He might be able to help you to have a right life before Him. He has a desire that you might be able to be living a life that would be pleasing unto Him, because He understands that the life that's lived to please Him is a life that's going to be the best life you can live. Amen. I never had to wake up from a Saturday night hangover and wonder what I did last night. Never had that. I didn't have that. You say, why? Because He would have killed me. That's why. You don't believe me? Ask Him. But David was a man after own heart. It is the heart that I want us just to consider this evening. And the whole heart. He says in verse number two, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." Seek Him with the whole heart. He says in verse number 10, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, keep me not. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." We'd understand that right away just by a simple reading. If one was to keep their testimonies of God, that would mean that they'd be seeking God with their whole heart. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, if one was truly sought after the Lord with their whole heart, they would be one that would not wander from the commands of God. And so I want us to consider this evening, the whole heart. Of us having our entire heart yielded to God. In the Bible, the heart is a term for the center of man's thinking. That's what the heart would be a term for. It's the seat of emotion and will. When someone goes out and they're passionate about something and they're given over to something, we would say this, that man, they have their whole heart into that. It might be an athlete that's going out and they're giving everything they possibly can to the challenge that is at hand, and their passion and their desire, they're completely yielded over to it with their whole heart. Could be someone in business, could be someone in any shape or form that they are completely driven by this one desire, and we call it their heart. Could be just a passion. Somebody's like, "Oh, man, I'm just so in love with that." And listen, people will go to great lengths and they'll do a lot of foolish things because they're, I mean, just Twitter-pated with someone else. No, and they will. We will. And the heart is that which is the center of man's thinking, is the seat of our emotions. It's our will. It's that which we are craving after. That's which we desire to have. According to Scripture, men think with their heart, according to Genesis 6:5 and Proverbs 23:7. We think with our heart. According to Proverbs 2:2, men understand with their heart, what the Bible would teach us. I got several of these. He deviseth his way with his heart, according to Proverbs 16:9. We devise the way that we're going. The heart meditates according to Psalm 19:14. You're thinking about something, right? Constantly, all of us, we have things that we think about. And men say, no, I just sit around and think about nothing all day. No, you're thinking about something. You're thinking about something. Your heart is meditating upon something. We consider with our heart according to Deuteronomy 4:39. We purpose with our heart according to Daniel 1:8. Amen? Daniel purposed in his heart. The heart takes counsel. It takes counsel in Proverbs 20 and verse 5. The heart reasons according to Luke 5 and verse 22. Look over in Proverbs in chapter number 4 with me. Just to look at this. We could look up all these verses, but just look up Proverbs in chapter number 4. From the heart proceeds all the actions of man. Proverbs 4. Look at verse number 23. It says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. You better hold on to this thing. The heart, if you're not careful, can get away from a man. No, do you understand that? With all the things that our heart does and all the things that our emotion and our will is given to, if we're not careful, our heart can get away from us. And so in wisdom, Solomon said, listen, you better keep your heart with all diligence. Yep, amen. Well, why would Solomon say something like that? Maybe you haven't read about Solomon. Maybe you need to go read the book of Ecclesiastes. Because Solomon went out in this life and he gave himself to everything under the sun. And when we think about that idea of that which is under the sun in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're talking about and thinking about the idea of living life without God in it. We're talking about a humanistic view of life and just going out and seeking. And you can read just real simple. He went out and sought after things, thrills, and pleasures. He did it up the better than any man could ever do it. He was the richest man this world's ever known, and he lavished upon himself everything that his heart desires. And at the end of the thing, you go over Ecclesiastes and chapter number 12, and he says, listen, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. I let my heart go here, I let my heart go there, and I gave my heart to everything that I desired and everything that I wanted. And at the end of this thing, it was all vanity. And he looks at his son and he says, listen, son, keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't let this thing get away from you. Matthew in chapter number 5, if you look over in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus addressed this with his own disciples Matthew 5, Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse number 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this, but those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh from the heart, then they defile a man. For out of the heart, look at this, proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. It's almost as if he's just saying, listen, you in your human state, and you, if you're just going to allow your heart to go where it will, and you, if you're not going to allow your heart to be controlled by the law of God, will very much just destroy and shatter and wreck the whole law of God. Well, how is that? Well, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You realize you and yourself and you and your will, you're a sinner just like me. I know this isn't earth shattering. You say, preacher, we know that. I'm just trying to remind us that, listen, you say, why is it that Psalm 119 is so long? Because this is a reality that men, given in their own state, are not going to be given to the idea of, listen, I'm going to just restrain myself and I'm just going to give myself under the law of God. No, that's not the heart of man. That is a desire that we are going to receive from the Lord. The heart of man. Let's read the heart of man, if you will, real quick again. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Listen, if we're not careful, that's my heart and that's your heart. That's the passion to which men follow after in their lives. And it is essential that the heart of man have some kind of restraint to control it. That we put some, if you will, some boundaries that we say, listen, these are the parameters to life, and these are the boundaries that I need to live in. And I understand, and I remember what it was to be a teenager and to have dad said, no, this is when curfew is. And no, we're not going to listen to that kind of music on our radio. And no, we're not going to go to that activity and this activity. And I just can tell you, in my heart of hearts, I just looked at Dad and said, Dad, thank you for your infinite wisdom and knowledge. I'm just telling you, from the depths of my soul, I just can't wait to do everything that you've told me to do. I'm telling you, there was more than one time, you say, well, they weren't supposed to be here tonight, were they? No, they weren't. They were going to be back in Oklahoma. But there was more than one time when the heart of this young man decided that he wasn't going to care what Dad had to say, even though Dad's mind was based on what God's word had to say. I was going to do my own thing. I was going to have my way. I was going to be at that event. I was going to go to that activity. I was going to involve myself in that practice more than one time. You say, well, why is that? Because I had a heart that had no desire to be restrained. I had a heart that had no desire to be told what to do. I had a heart that had no desire for anyone to come in and just say, listen, this is the way you should walk. I had a heart to go after my own way. I had a heart that needed some restraint to it. Something that it is seeking other than its own lust. That's what your heart needs. And therefore, God gave you His word. Praise the Lord. And therefore God said, listen, these are my testimonies. I want you to keep them. And I want you to have a heart for them. I want you to have a desire to keep them. Problem with this world is not that there are so many people out here that are just saying, woo, just can't wait to follow after God. No, the problem of this world is men are continually given to a heart that is unrestrained. And therefore it is given to every passion that comes into it, and it will not restrain itself from indulging in the things that it wants. That's the problem in this world. To keep one's heart right, there can be no divided interest, though. No, you say, how am I gonna keep my heart right? Well, I'm not gonna be able to be divided in my interests. I'm not gonna be able to be given to, well, some areas to what I want and some areas to what God wants. No, I'm not gonna be able to be divided in my desire to please God. God wants from us our whole heart. That's what God wants from us. That's what God desires out of you. He's not just looking at us and go, listen, if I could just have the areas you're willing to give me. No, that's not God. No, and even in the Psalm, he's very clear. Listen, if I'm going to keep the law of God, if I'm going to follow after the statutes of God, if I'm going to fulfill the judgments of God, if I'm going to keep the commands of God, it's only going to be done one way, with my whole heart. It's not going to be that I am given to, well, as Jesus would put it in the New Testament, to many masters, and everything's just going to turn out great. No, in fact, Christ was very clear with his disciples, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one or hate the other. You'll hate one and love the other. It's not possible. So if I say, listen, I want to please God with my life. I want to live the kind of life that God would be pleased with, that God's going to be glorified with. That's going to be the kind of life that I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen, there's only one possible way of doing that, and that is to add restraint to your heart, and with your whole heart, seek after the things of God. There's just no other way. It can't be that, I'm going to give part, but there's some things I'm going to hold on to. Guess what? It's not whole. It's not whole. You say, well, what is whole? I wrote the definition down just for you to ask that question. Whole means this, and you say, I know what whole means. No, just listen. Whole means the entire thing. The entire thing. That's what whole means. It means the entire or total assemblage of parts. That's whole. If something is whole, every part's going to be there. If something is whole, it's going to be because it has everything that is needed for it to be properly assembled. I just thought about this. I thought about bringing up a pie, and I thought, no, that wouldn't be good. So that might end badly because I think it'd be gluttonous for me to eat an entire pie up here just to show you, like, or half a pie. Like, it's not whole anymore. See, and so I came up with another illustration. I need someone who's young. I can use a couple someones who are young. Okay, yeah, you boys come up here. You three boys come up here. All right, we'll use these. Yeah, come up here. Yeah, David, Bradley, here, help me. We're gonna learn what whole means. It to be assembled in all of its parts. Now, let's help me here. Bradley, yes. 9 years old. Yes. Yep, 9 years old. You think you could help us with knowing what whole means? Yes. Yeah, okay. David, 8 years old. 7 years old. Sorry, 7 years old. You can help me know what whole means? Okay. 7 years old. Yep. So 9, 7, and 7. Say, man, how hard is it to understand whole? This is a real difficult task. I'm going to let each and every one of you prove that you know what whole means, okay? You can do this, right? All right, I went to the nursery. I mean, this idea of giving our whole heart to something, I went to the nursery, found a puzzle. It's missing some things, though, isn't it? Yep, it's missing some things. So I want you to reach in the bag, Bradley. We'll just do this one at a time. Pull out a part. That part is missing from somewhere on this puzzle. Now, whoa, 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 whoa. It's really difficult. It's really tough. But Bradley, you're 9 years old. Can you show us where that part fits? Man, right there. Well, how did you know? Because it's easy. Well, why is it easy? You've done it many times. You've done this before. What is it? All right, well, we'll just go on. All right, so David, come on, get a part. And we're missing something over here. This is not complete. It's not whole. It's missing something. Where does that one? Man, you got it right too. Man, David, how did you figure it out? Oh, so you took this picture and you matched it up with that picture. All right. Here, let's see if you can figure this thing out. This is really difficult. I don't know if a 7-year-old can do this one, but he got it. They haven't even missed one time. They haven't missed. All right, Bradley, let's try this again. There's a few more parts in here. We get them in all the right spots. Woo! All right, way to go. You got it again. Good job. All right, David, come on. Here we go. We're putting these parts all in the right spot. Wow. Man, you're just literally, all you guys are just looking at that picture and matching up with this picture, and everything's just falling in place. Man, look at you guys. Let's give these guys a hand. I mean, listen. All right, go sit down. We started with something that was all in pieces. Something that had to be put together. So and you say, well, what did they do? They looked at this piece and said, all right, that fits right there. Well, how did they know? Well, it's kind of simple, isn't it? I mean, if you can see that, I mean, it's just kind of clear. There, see, I'm not whole. But no, come on, stay with me. Forget these. No. Everything fit in its right place. When they had, if what we'd call this is, it's a cheat sheet. I mean, this tells you where everything goes. This goes, this little bus goes where the little bus is. It doesn't go where the car is. I mean, it literally just gives you the shape. It gives you the order. It literally tells you exactly what to do. I mean, it's almost a 7-year-old can look at this thing and go, man, that's self-explanatory. No, I mean, it's like it literally tells me what to do. I mean, we didn't have to go to high school to figure this out. We didn't. We didn't have to go to college to help us to understand how this thing worked. And I'm telling you, The Word of God's the same way. You say, well, how is it that I can, man, with my whole heart, I mean, what is it that God desires for me? What is it that God wants me to do? How is it God wants me to live my life? How and this and why and what? I'm telling you, the answer is the same all the time. The Word of God. No, 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 just you getting yourself into the Word of God, and you say, well, but I have these questions. I'm telling you, it's the essence of the Christian life to have questions. It's okay to have questions. It's right for you to dive into the Word of God seeking answers. I mean, it's right. It's good. And I'm telling you, when we can go to the Word of God, we're going to find this, that God knows how to make life work, and God knows how to put all the pieces in the right spot and in the right places. But listen to me, friend. When we decide to have a whole heart, we're going to be seeking His Word for the answers. And when we say, no, 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 I mean, there's some things that I'm willing to let God put in their place, but I just don't know about some of these other things. I mean, there are just some things I just don't think they fit in my puzzle. They just don't fit in my plan. And it might be that God's Word says one thing, but listen, I've got my own way. You say, well, that wouldn't happen among, I mean, Christians on a Sunday night. Well, let me put it this way. Christ had to instruct His disciples that walked daily with Him. I mean, that ate with Him and like traveled around the Sea of Galilee with Him. He had to look at them and say, you know what? You can't serve God and mammon. No, no, you can't live a divided, you cannot live for me with a divided heart.